Luke, would you go ahead and open us in prayer?
Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for waking up. All come to church. Pray for Pastor John. Give him the words to speak. Give us ears to hear. Open our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, I want to start, before we get into Proverbs 5, I want to start quickly in Romans 15. Verse 20, something the Apostle Paul says here. We're in Romans 15, 20. We're not going to go to Proverbs quite yet. Trevor, would you run out and get me a bottle of water?
I think Katie's getting you water.
Oh, my goodness. We took beauty before brains. All right. So we go Romans 15, verse 20. All right. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." Thank you, Miss Katie. Now, as is a theme of mine, the whole ability to go out to a people and try to carve out a people for Jesus Christ is effectually dead in the United States. Okay? You just don't see anyone that has that ability anymore. You know, Dale goes to church after church. And I hope there's some, but it's probably extremely rare to find any church where they're getting anybody out of the neighborhoods they're in or anything of that sort. Most of the time what a pastor does is he puts his flag up, shows what he stands for, what he believes in, and hopes to attract like-minded people. So you get into a place like Rochester or something like that, and there's a lot of competition for like-minded people. And it's a game of musical chairs that goes on, you know, who's got the people or whatever else. So, and it's not that we haven't attracted people to this church from other churches. We have, okay? But that is certainly not what we try to do here. We try very hard to get people who are unchurched, people who had no idea of ever being sitting in the house of God, teaching them the things of God, teaching them the King James Bible, and bringing them in. So the Apostle Paul says, again, he said, "I strove not to build on another man's foundation." Now, why do I say that? Well, number one, sis, we have a thing going on right now amongst our preachers, which I enjoy. I think it's a great thing, all right? They're preaching to each other, Bible studies, things of that sort. I love that. That's not teaching you, though, to go out there and evangelize and get people interested in the gospel who aren't interested in the gospel. But it's great. You're learning from each other, iron sharpening iron. It's a good thing. One of the ways you do that, going into other churches, I mean, Farmersville, as far as that goes, it's not like you got a depraved, lost crowd there. All right, but there are churches you're going to go into, and Dale can tell you where it's hard to find much evidence of real Bible salvation in those churches, okay? And if you just go in there and blow into pieces, you'll never come back again, all right? You have to go in there and try to delicately lay some things down, see if you can get a few points across to them. But the number one place that anyone who has a call to preach can go in and preach to people who aren't really inclined to be spiritual or scriptural King James Bible is the jails.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Never mind what good you'll do for the people in the jails.
Yes.
Never mind that. The people in the jails will do a ton of good for you. All right? And they just will, because you're going to preach to people who, A, they're smart alecks, they think they know more than you. Some of them are only sitting there because they're bored out of their mind. And you try to reach them. Now, we've had two men come here who heard something when Dale preached at Cattaraugus County. Neither one has lasted, okay, Sheldon and Joshua Clausen. I'd like to see, you know, the hope that that door's still open, that we could get them or whatever else. But it actually, they heard something where they said, boy, there's something going on there, okay? I'd like that. Now, right now, we have, besides Dale, Luke, we have Ronnie and Nick and Stephen that are qualified to preach in the jail. I have asked Dale to put in the names of Kyle, of Timothy, and of Peter. That does not mean that you have to go there, okay? It means that I think you should, okay? I think Peter made a statement to me, and I thought it was a good statement. He just said, well, he said, I just hate to miss a lot of church. Probably Ronnie does, Nick does, and, you know, Stephen does, as far as that goes. And I know if there was more men, it would happen less, okay? With the idea of being able to spread that out some, okay? I'm hoping Dale gets to the point where he can do it more, because I'm going to be quite honest with you, for Dale to go in there and preach once is more effective than most of you preaching three or four times, okay? All right? And some of that's just experience as far as preaching, and some is just that rapport that he's got with those fellas or whatever else. How are you going to get that kind of experience? You're going to go into those jails and preach to them, okay? So the thing is, as far as with Kyle and Peter and Tim, I'd like to see you go ahead and at least go in there, go through that orientation, be able go there with Dale or Ronnie or Stephen one time or something, get a feel for it, be one of those who could be on that list. We're going to be picking up the Sandusky Church for the summer, okay? So that's another church. I'd like it if you, when the first person, April 7th, they want someone to go over there. Tim told me he was going to be busy. I don't know what he's going to be doing April 7th. But, yeah. But I'd like it, whoever goes, if you could set it up where you and Johnny could go, all right? And it'd just be a good witness for you to be able to go over there. And then during the summer, they want somebody. I'd like to see the Frewsburg Church open up, you know, as far as that goes. Now, I talked with Brother McVeigh today. And he has formally committed to the Botens as far as buying that house, okay? The only thing now that prevents him from coming and doing part two of the plan is he wants to make sure this church is sincere, all right? Yeah. So I told him that at the April meeting, we'll vote him in as the new pastor for January, all right? At the April meeting, we'll vote him in. That starting January 1st, he will be the bishop of the Black Creek Baptist Church. He'll be the executive pastor, okay? That way, he's got it settled. It's not a matter of whim or, you know, what if he buys in here and, you know, we all go to the NIV or something like that. You know?
I don't want to hear the message he's got.
Right. So, but at the same time, you know, one of the things I have watched, and one of the things that's nice about the Bible study is most of the people who come here are the ones that have been culled out of the neighborhoods or whatever else, you know. Not so much the ones that migrated from other churches other than, say, Pastor Haney sneaks in here. But the thing is, I have watched older men, once they get in their 70s or whatever else, and I have watched them where, to be honest with you, things are going on in their church they just don't realize are going on. Okay, they just don't catch on to it. And I've just noticed for myself that that same old energy that I've had as far as here and there and everything else, it's not there. And already, most of you could bear witness, McVeigh's doing half of the pastoring here anyway. All right, you guys are calling him, talking to him, going there, you know, setting up your marriages, whatever else. And, you know, I find out about the marriages when I get an invitation. It's my own kids, all right? All right, so
last off the list.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, you're the next on the list.
That's what I just
told. Yeah, he's in negotiations with the Buffalo Zoo right now, the orangutan. All right.
Yeah. Okay, I get you're making fun of me, but I still don't make sense of it.
Well, that's because most orangutans have good taste. That's the only reason you don't get any sense of it. All right, but... All right, but regardless of that, so again, let's just go to Proverbs chapter 5 now. Does anybody have any testimonies about Proverbs chapter 5? Anything that helped them?
testimony, but I had an observation.
Mm-hmm. All right. Why don't you know what? Let's do what we did last week. Why don't you come up here and take a few moments of your observation?
Sure.
I'm positive. Oops, I don't take that one. That's yours.
In Proverbs 5, what we have is a comparison of a good woman and a bad woman. Okay? And that's what the chapter sets up. Now, it begins in verse 1 with Solomon saying, "My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding." My question, why? And then verse 2, "that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge." If you'll notice in verse 1, the word "my" is there twice. I've circled it. Okay? Attend unto my wisdom, Solomon's wisdom. Now, Solomon tells us we need to seek the Lord's wisdom, God's wisdom. But here, he is telling Rehoboam, you listen to my wisdom. And what he ends up emphasizing is it's going to save Rehoboam lots of problems if he'll listen to Solomon, his father's wisdom. And the reason for the why is verse 2, "that thou mayest regard discretion." That thou mayest regard it. In other words, you need to have a good attitude toward discretion. And then also he says, "and that thy lips may keep knowledge," so that you know what to say. So you need to have a good attitude, okay, about discretion. And you need to be able to talk wisely, smartly. Then he goes on and he says, "the lips of a strange woman droppeth a honeycomb." Many verses. Pastor will go over them verse by verse. Many verses about the bad woman. I'm just summing it up as bad woman. Okay? A whore, a harlot, a whatever. Okay? But you got the bad woman. And then, starting in verse 15, he uses as an illustration sources of water. He says, "drink waters out of thine own cistern." So they got a cistern. And then he's got running waters, maybe like a spring. And he tells his son, "now listen, you satisfy your thirst in your own well." Now, you read on, you find out that that's your wife. Okay? And you get your thirst satisfied with your wife. Now that would be the big S word. You men, you husbands, know what I mean by the S word? We have some, yeah. We have some younger kids here, and I'm conscious of that. And verse 18, "let thy fountain be blessed." And then he's more specific, "rejoice with the wife of thy youth." And then he goes on and he says, we are supposed to be ravished with our own wife. Ravished. You look it up. Okay? I mean, like, I wrote it in the bottom of my Bible. Ravished. To seize. To overcome. Or I like this one, to be intoxicated.
Yes.
In other words, if you're going to get hots for anybody, get them for your own wife. Now, can I make... Yeah, I can make it clear, but like I say, I know my group tonight. And so, and then he goes on, and verse 20. "Why will you be ravished with a strange woman?" You want something to look at? Look at your wife.
Amen.
Wife? Wife? Give him something to look at.
That's right. That's good.
Okay?
Oh, that's
scraggly hair, dirty t-shirt. You look like he just came off of a week of work. Give him something to look at. Whoa, hey, look at how he looks at me. Hey, you're trying to get him. You say, I already got him. There's the problem. You think when you said I do, that took care of it. All that, when you say I do and think the way I'm talking about, it ends up I don't. All right. Now, the really big thing that I was going to, but I felt I had to set up those two contrasts. Look, if you will, at verse 11. And he says, and thou mourn at last. Oh, he said, verse 10, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors, and in the house of a stranger. In other words, you pick out the wrong kind of women. You look at that, and you young men, look at this. You're better to be single than you are to be hooked up with a bad woman. Now, when your hormones get driving you, you're not going to think so. Well, we can take you to a couple men that listen to their hormones rather than their father. And at the very least, you're going to end up paying alimony forever. Meaning you'll get married and then you'll end up getting divorced and she'll sock into your wallet. And so pay attention. Okay? Better to be alone. Better to be alone. And so now look, and thou mourn at the last. In other words, you hook up with the wrong kind of woman, the house of a stranger, and at the last, here's the end result. When thy flesh and thy body are consumed. I read that and I went back and I read it again. When thy flesh and thy body are consumed. And he just talked about hooking up with the wrong kind of woman. And so I wondered to myself, is that talking about a sexually transmitted infection or disease? Because that's what I took out of this. He's describing what's going to happen when you take up with the wrong kind of woman. It's going to end up with your flesh and body consumed. Well, what's going to consume the flesh and body? Well, then I went to my next favorite object, Google. And I put in there STDs in the Old Testament. Boy, let me tell you, there's a number of articles there. Now, just depending on how much that sort of thing, you know, floats your boat, you can do it. But I found one 6-page article, I think it was out of Britain, out of England, a university professor over there who went in and looked at this whole matter. And he ends up saying there is a very good likelihood that, and he had given various references as he went from the scriptures, okay? Very good likelihood that indeed there are scriptural passages that could lead a person to consider that is what was being dealt with. We are so self-centered. We think that we're it. We're the only ones that ever had these kind of problems. Or at least only we here in the United States in the last 100 years because we know that it's only gotten really bad in the last 100 years. You go 100 years ago and they thought it was horrible compared to what it was before that. It's been bad all over. It's called sin. Right. But anyway, the point is this passage, going with the approach he took, and then there was another article that I read having to do with this, but that indeed this could very well be. Now, do you notice I'm not writing it in stone? Because when the Bible was written originally, they talked rather discreetly about such matters. And when the King James translation was made, again, they didn't have the blunt openness like we have today.
Thank God.
And yeah, it was a good thing. But they knew what they meant by, you know, what to us, we have to read between double read between the lines. They knew what was between the lines by the terms that they were using in their day. And so that was my big thing. And that is, out of verse 11, that could be a sexually transmitted disease or infection. And you'll study it out.
All right.
So he called me?
No.
All right. Proverbs chapter 5, and we will look at that. So my son, attend unto my wisdom, verse 1, and bow down thine ear to mine understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and thy lips may keep knowledge. You know, when Joshua and the people of Israel attacked Jericho, we all know the story. They marched around it for 7 straight days. The 7th day, they marched around it 7 times. And the walls fell down, and they were told, don't keep anything. Okay. And yet they were told that in that land of Israel was going to be houses and lands and gold and trees and animals and riches and all this kind of thing, but they weren't allowed to have any of that. And you'd think with all those miracles that would have sufficed, but there was a man that was not enough. Okay, and so you had Achan, and he coveted and he took something. Okay, now, I'm not fool enough to think that in the amount of people that we have coming to the Black Creek Baptist Church, that there's not somebody with a hankering for somebody else's spouse.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And it might be just in the back of your mind. Get it out of the back of your mind.
Right, brother.
Get it out of there. All right. These little, you know, a guy told me one time, he says, sometimes I wonder what it'd be like if my wife died and that guy's, and that woman's husband died. What are you saying?
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's just, and, you know, it's a guy trying to think of a clean way that he can dream about adultery.
Right, exactly.
And
right.
Pastor Hain can tell you, and I can tell you, of just very sad stories of people we know that just ruined their lives with that. And it'll ruin your life. You just talk about messing everything up. And where your children despise you and your family despises you and your friends despise you and you mourn over what you've done. You better watch that stuff, okay? So he says that thou mayest regard discretion. Be discreet, okay? Use your stinking head, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Boy, the words that come out of her, they're just perfect, they're enticing, they're everything you want. And again, just be careful of that, okay? You know, I'm 69 years old, and the furnace doesn't heat the same it used to years ago. I've got teeth like stars. What do you mean by that? Well, they come out every night, all right? And
I thought you meant twinkle.
Yeah, no. You know, but you know, McVeigh talked about a preacher who told him this. The guy said, I'm fat now, I'm lame, I've got diabetes, and he was talking about all these problems he had, but I'll still see a 15-year-old girl tonight saying, man, I could get that.
Yeah.
Weird, the stuff that's in people's heads, all right? And, you know, it'll go through your head if you're not careful. You ladies, vice versa, it'll go through your head. Just, you know, learn to coordinate with your spouse, okay? Learn to do that. Learn to keep, yeah,
You young men, you keep the younger women as sisters. Treat them as sisters, okay? So Trevor goes around and starts slugging girls. But yeah, but the thing is, treat them as sisters, okay? And handle it that way. Husband and spouses, when you're in a crowd of people, you need to keep each other in line. Not that you're suspicious of your husband, your husband's suspicious of the wife. Just for safety for each one of you. So, you know, and, you know, Bill Randall and Doris Randall, they learned that fairly young. When she was 25 years old, she was one of the more stunning beauties in Southern Florida. And she waited tables for the New York Yankees in their spring camp. She knew all of them, Whitey Ford and, you know, Mickey Mantle and all those guys and all that stuff. And she knew them. She was making $300 a week in the early 60s, you know. All right. You know, that's probably the equivalent of making close to $3,000 a week today, all right, waiting tables. And, you know, it's one of those things that they learned how to handle stuff together as a pair and handle things the way they need to handle them, all right? And you just need to learn that. You know, Johnny and Samantha need to learn that. When you're in a crowded room, watch. Is there some woman that's got it walking up there trying to put her hand on his chest and talk to him or something like that? You know, just let him know, you know, that, hey, I'm here, and walk up and talk or something of that sort. And, come on in there, fellas. We're in Proverbs chapter 5, trying to find you a wife. All right.
Well, you got the message. No.
All right. So, again, be careful on that stuff. Learn to work together as a pair when you're in crowds of people. Learn to do that, okay? All right. Then it says this, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. And it is, okay? I think just a nasty tasting wood from what I understand, all right? You know, when Bill Randall started the ministry, he and a man by the name of Roger Anderson worked evangelism together, and they had a tent and preached all over the place. And Roger Anderson's, you know, well, what ended up happening is he ended up committing adultery with a woman, run away from his wife and children, abandoning them, and taking off with this woman. And then he went and became a Calvinist and said, no, this was really God's secret will for me to do. And it embittered Bill Randall to the point he was out of the ministry for a year. Okay, he was bitter, one, for all, hello there, Miss Sue. But he was bitter for how people were handling it. He himself thought Roger could be restored to something, you know, if the man would repent or whatever. And Bill Randall talked about one man who said, I knew the guy was no good. I knew he was up to something. He said that man was in adultery 6 months later. Wow. All right? Yeah. And so, but the thing is, 20 years after that, well, I'm at Gethsemane, Roger Anderson shows up. Him and the woman he ran away with. And he wasn't young anymore, and she's one of these women who in her late 40s still trying to look charming or whatever. And he came there, and Bill Randall did his best to try to befriend him and show him his love and everything else. And she ran off with another guy. She'd only brought him back to Bill Randall to dump him. And, you know... And I remember one of the last times I saw him just sitting there alone, okay, all falling apart. And he just hated everybody and just a miserable life. Destroyed his children.
Yeah.
Just destroyed them.
Yeah.
Then it says, verse 5, her feet go down to hell and her steps take hold on, or go down to death and her steps take hold on hell. Now this is both a harlot of Revelation 17 and the woman who's enticing men. It's the oldest trick in the book. It just is. I mean, it's just out there and it's worked effectively for years and years and years. And just one of those things that, again, to avoid fornication, let every man
have his own wife.
Right.
Okay? Let every woman have her own husband. Yes, sir?
What you just described is that way you've gone. I can't remember the verse for life. Why it's not good that a man should be alone going with what you just said.
Well, yeah, that's one reason. Yeah, it's not good for a man to be alone. Okay? That's one of the good reasons to have a wife. Okay? And there's a delicate thing there. I don't want guys courting women who are currently caught up in pornography.
Right.
Okay? But at the same time, I also understand the long-term way to keep all pornography is to get you a woman. All right?
Sure.
Bill Randall used to say, ladies, when he comes home, grab him by the ears and wear him out. All right? And, all right, it's a good way to avoid fornication. All right? Don't give him any strength to go do any fornication. All right? You know, and as frank as Bill Randall was, all right, it did worlds of good for me and my wife. It just did, all right.
8 kids later.
Well, not just 8 kids later, but you know, it was also that idea of just what a marriage is supposed to be, a man and a wife, and that rapport between them, and that understanding between them, and each one knowing their rule and understanding how to do that, all right? Hey, Trevor, you waiting to hear it on YouTube? You waiting to hear it on YouTube? You might as well hear it here, all right? All right? All right. But, you know, I was saying that thing Pastor Hain was talking last night, you know, with my boys or whatever. You know, my boys watched their father have to become a man, their mother be just an absolute wretch, falling apart, bitterness, hatred, horribleness, everything else. And they watched that process of a man and a woman and their love together and pulling things together with the Word of God and the house of God,
right,
establishing a home.
Yes.
And they watch the peace and the joy and the love, and they have a hankering to do that with the woman. Okay? You know, the whole idea of, you know, this idea of the honeymoon relationship, that comes and goes.
Yeah.
All right? It just does. It just comes and goes. And if there's not more to it than that, you're in a lot of trouble. That's one of the reasons that you don't want to touch a woman until you've been at the marriage altar.
Right.
And one of the things is this. You fornicators know this. People look completely different after you've seen them naked. Okay, they just do. Fornicators know that. Okay? They never look the same after that. And not only that, if you've had relations with them, you can't think the same towards them.
Right.
You can't think rational about them anymore. You can't do it.
Can I ask you, what is a fornicator? I don't even know.
A person who has sex outside of marriage.
Oh, well, I never did that.
Yeah. But the thing is,
why not ask?
The whole point to that is this. So many people, today the thing is meet somebody, get into a sexual relationship with them, then maybe it'll kind of work. And you'd be amazed how many couples I know that swap DNA,
but
won't share a bank account.
No.
You know, and right away it shows you something's twisted there.
Right.
All right? Something is pretty whacked, you know, that they do that. Instead, it's one of those things that two people ought to meet on an intellectual level. What do you mean by that? They just meet each other. All right? Just conversation, talking to each other. And if your mind tells you this person is safe, what do you mean by that? Well, they're single, you're single. They have the same belief system you do. They desire the same things you do. All right? You're gauging that thing, realizing, hey, this is where we're at. Then you can begin to invest a little bit in them emotionally, speak to your feelings, things of that sort. But it's so important to know their family. So important to spend time with their family. So important to be part of all that together. Because no matter what a guy says he is or a girl says he is, when they get older and got a pot belly, they really want a home just like their parents had. They want a couch like that, a kitchen table like that. They want to sit around like that, everything else.
And you're pulling towards that as you get older. And if she's pulling toward, or he's pulling towards a different type of thing, it's just misery as you grow older. And you each have these different ideas of where you want to go with this thing. And so it's so much better to know and realize, you know, their family's just as goofy as mine. And there's a comfort to that when you realize that. And, you know, realizing that, hey, you know, I could grow old with this person. I could enjoy growing old with that person. And there, again, there's a great comfort to that, to know that. And never touching each other until such time as you swap last names, all right? And, you know, you've agreed on a last name. And, you know, Johnny and Samantha, they arm wrestled over Wilcox or Asplund, you know. And he won the, yeah. He won 3 out of 5, and you know.
I had a crowbar.
Yeah. But
was it enough?
But we have come into a society where people are miserable. The sexual revolution has opened up where people today have less sexual satisfaction than probably any time in history. Okay, and so they just run around doing little weirdo things to their own body and with other people and want everybody to call it normal. All right, you know, me and my mate, we bring the dog and a broomstick and the goat to bed, you know, and you have to accept that, you know, and if you don't, you're a horrible person or whatever else. How'd they get in that condition? They got in that condition because at 11 years old, brother was diddling sister, and sister was a mess, and, you know, then she's off with a neighbor man and this kind of thing, and by the time she's 15, she's so destroyed, her soul's destroyed inside, she's hurting with everything she can hurt with, and it's just a mess, okay?
Right.
And, you know, and so there's nothing greater you'll do, especially you preachers, is showing people, hey, this is where hope is, this is where life is, this is how God heals, this is how God can take you and give you a real life with real satisfaction and real happiness, okay?
Pastor, can I say something on that?
You certainly can.
Along with that and what Pastor Hain shared, just kind of a warning to those young people, it is best that you don't have any of those things in your mind. Because when you live like pigs, two people coming together who live like pigs, even if they did it clean like how Johnny and I did, you still have to wade through the pig pen afterwards.
Go ahead.
That's right.
There are things, even in your sleep, that will come back to haunt you.
Yeah.
And that this verse that Pastor Hain read, where is it? When thy flesh and thy body are consumed. But the following verses, and you say to yourself, How have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I can't even describe, and I'm happy with my husband, but how many times I've been haunted by a thought or a dream.
That's right.
Or anything I thought, if only I listened.
Yeah, I hear you.
Because you, like, for example, like Tim and Megan, I rejoice over their marriage, because they won't have half of the issues
Amen.
That he and I have to wade through because we live like pigs.
Well, that's good.
To just wait. And also, another thing is the only reason why we can be married is for two reasons. Well, main reason we follow the King James Bible. Because we didn't touch or anything like that, which was a difficulty because we're human.
Yep.
We didn't do it. But also, after marriage, this is our guidebook to getting through those times.
Amen.
Without this, if we were outside of church and never touched, I don't think we could still make it. You have to have the instruction of this book.
Amen. It's good. You got to have it. I like it. It's good. How many people here enjoy depression? Yeah, how many people here enjoy suicidal feelings? Okay? You want to have those feelings? Break these rules. You want to go through long periods of time where those things consume you, you know? Sir?
I was going to say, it's funny, Pastor spoke on that, Samantha spoke on it. When I spoke on that verse, the way of the wicked is as darkness, you know, and you, you and I were traveling together, and you tried to explain things to me, and I just didn't. I didn't believe it. I didn't obey it because I didn't understand it. It didn't make sense to me and my thinking how it could not be, how my thoughts and things I wanted we're not good. But that verse, how have I hated instruction? Why did I not just listen to the voice of my teacher? And I think of all the people or anybody who's here who's thinking still that I just don't believe that. How can this not be a good thing? I want to do this. But there's various testimonies of how it just completely, utterly destroys everything about you.
It does. It'll tear you into the smallest, most awful feelings and long periods of time and just grief and suicidal thoughts and everything else, and it ain't worth it. Okay? Since my wife and I have been together, nothing in our relationship made her want to kill herself, made her want to kill me. But not herself, all right? By the way, I have discovered that I'm a better person than her.
Not this again.
No? I married a woman who texts verses to everybody. She didn't marry somebody like that. I'm a better person than her. All right.
I'm glad she didn't marry a woman either.
Yeah. All right.
Good job.
Verse 6, lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, thou cannot know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh near the door of her house. Okay? Most people are going to the door of her house now with clicking on the
right,
clicking on their phone and that kind of stuff. We have some young men here who have been free of pornography.
Right.
All right. And by the way, do you know how you know when a young man's free of pornography? He has a distinct testimony of how he got free.
Yeah.
If they don't, they're in it.
Yeah.
All right?
Yep.
If they don't, they're in it. All right? They have a distinct testimony of how they got out of it.
Yep.
All right? And if they don't have that, they're in it. All right. You may not believe it now. Probably a year from now, you say, boy, I really learned about that. All right. Verse 9, lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. It is very, very sad when you look at someone who lived that fornicating lifestyle, that adulterous lifestyle, young, flitting from woman to woman, everything else. You watch them time when they're 60 years old, broken, alone, usually broke. All right, and don't have anything, and have trouble even getting anybody to pay attention to them or anything else. And I know men, I can take you to people like that now. I know we've got some ladies here that have got somebody close in their family who's that's happened to them, all right, and just destroyed them, you know, and I doubt any of it was worth it now, okay?
That's right.
Then it says this, lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Okay? And they mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. And yes, you know, one of the grievous things that went on when you read in the 1800s, 1700s was the level of syphilis that ran through society in those times. Derek, Mr. Ronnie?
There's an extinct plant that was extinct in biblical time, thousands of years ago. That syphilis is named after.
Really?
It was a plant that was used as an aphrodisiac.
Ah, okay. Fascinating. When, after the King James Bible was done, King James's son lost his head in a rebellion, and a man by the name of Oliver Cromwell then ruled England for 10 years in a Puritan republic, okay? And went overboard. So when King James' grandson, Charles II, came and restored order to England and such, the next 15 years in England were an orgy. Absolute debauchery. Beyond anything. In fact, one court man said this. He said, it is difficult to find anyone who hangs out at the palace that his children are his own children. Okay? Difficult to find anyone that way. And men just had concubines and women just flitted around with each other. And They all just suffered from syphilis. All right? There was no cure for it. And they just suffered from it. And it was amazing the effect that it had on the people at that time. Whole Indian tribes would get it when white people would come and mingle with them and that. When the Lewis and Clark expedition got to the Mandan Sioux of North Dakota and South Dakota and such, there the Sioux believed that they had to let the women entertain strangers that came, and almost destroyed that nation with the syphilis the Lewis and Clark expedition brought there. And just the destruction that went on. So we think we're safe today because we can take drugs and that kind of thing. I remember when I was in the military, we had a man who used to race the bus down this mountain, hairpin curves and that. When he'd take the day, what we call the day ladies, the guys who worked 8-hour shifts, when he'd be taking them down, and the captain explained to me later, yeah, he went to Thailand, left his wife at home, and in Thailand was just notorious for the prostitution. And I mean beautiful women for $3 a night and that kind of stuff. He picked up a disease where he drained all the time, and there was nothing they could give him to stop it. His wife left him, everything else, and he'd drive that bus and racing because he's just draining while he's driving and such. And again, sin pays wages. It's an awful, awful life to live a sinful life. The sad part is today, we've cured so much of the physical part of it, so we live with the mental and the emotional agonies. And it's mentally and emotionally awful, terrible. 1/3 of American schoolgirls consider on a regular basis committing suicide. Were you gonna say something?
Just to kind of go along with what you just said, there was an old lesson my mom once taught me, simply put, there is no condom for your heart.
Okay. No condom for the mind, no condom for the heart. Okay. All right. So, verse 13, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation. St. Pastor Haynes said, drink waters out of thine own sister, your own wife, and rivers of water in the streets. Let them be thine only and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. I still got the wife of my youth, all right? And we rejoice together. And let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou always ravished with her love. You know, when I was in the Philippines, one of the first times I got in the pulpit, I'm preaching, and women start unbuttoning their blouses, flopping their breasts out, clomping a baby on it. And I thought, this is going to be difficult to preach. And these are young, pretty women. And so I gathered all the husbands together, and I read them this verse. I said, her breasts are for you. They're not public property, okay? Use a little discretion, okay? Keep them secret to yourself. And you know what? They all got the message. The next time I went in there, women had shawls over their shoulders, that kind of thing, or whatever else, and they got it, all right? And, you know, not the type of thing, you know, I'm a man. You show it, I'll look, all right? I'll hate myself afterwards, but I'm a man, all right? I can tell you something, sub Bill Randall said here, but his wife would crawl into the pew each time. Verse 20, and why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? I remember one time getting in the church, all you people that think scandal, I slept with a naked woman last night. His wife said, it was hot. He said stuff I couldn't get away with, all right? And somehow or other, he used to get away with it. Kept the power of God while he was there, all right? So, and why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. He pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction,
in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. You know, a number of years ago over at Anchor, Tim McVeigh just said this, and I thought he said it well. He said, a woman's breasts are for her husband's entertainment and to nurse her children. They're not to entertain the crowds around. They're not to entice other people to want her. Okay? They're for those two things. They're for her husband's entertainment, and they're to feed her children. And a man who goes ahead and thinks he's got a shop and look at all these and that kind of stuff, he's a fool. All right? Believe me, the woman that God gives you, if God's given her to you, her breasts will satisfy you for life. And the man that God's given you, he will be satisfied with what God gave you. They will satisfy him. And you'll wonder, well, are these good enough? They're good enough, okay? Because it's not so much what you're hanging there, it's the person behind it that makes them attractive. All right? That's what makes them something. That's what makes them worthwhile. That's what makes them a treasure. And if you keep that in mind, you won't get yourself all fouled up. Yes?
The last verse there says, he shall die without instruction. That's the reason why in other parts of Proverbs it talks about the fool hates instruction. Because you're going to die without that instruction.
Yeah, he hates it. That's good. All right. Well, Dale, would you close? Dale Lee? All right, yeah, I guess he did. All right. All right, sir, would you close us in prayer?
Father in heaven, thank you for tonight. Thank you for what you have taught us through chapter 5 of Proverbs. Lord, it's some direct teaching, yet it is very necessary. And I pray that you would help each of us to know where and how it fits in our lives. Because, Lord, it's for every one of us. Some may need it more than others, but all of us, Father, need it. And so I thank you for that. Bless the young men, young ladies. Thank you for the married folks. Just ask you to have your will in each life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.